I'm not sure where you're going to go right now, Steve, but...
Go ahead. I'm going here.
God's ultimate goal is to make us more like the Lord Jesus. I think that's what I see in the scriptures, that his goal is to make us like Christ. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, this is a verse that I keep going to over and over again, and it just speaks to my heart. When it comes to growth, I don't think I should be looking for growth in myself. That's not the purpose. My goal is to focus on Christ. Others may notice, but this is it in verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror or glass, in other translations, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, in other words, my focus, as I focus on Christ, and as the Spirit of God enables me to focus on Christ, He does a work in me to make me more like the Lord Jesus. It's not like I am working to become like Him. It's as I focus on Christ, as I enjoy Christ, I don't know how to express it, but as I drink in Him, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, does a work in me. If you go back in Exodus, Moses wasn't aware of his face shining. He had to put a veil on his face. So he was occupied with the Lord, and his face shone. So this is, to me, is a simple thing that you and I need to focus on Christ, and the Spirit of God will work in me. Amen. It's not my effort. Although there is an element of the other side where there is an effort. You got to get up in the mornings and read the scriptures. That takes effort. So there's a part of that is true. You have to get up and you got to put aside certain things and read the Bible. But the Spirit of God does a work. He does the work in us to make us more like Christ.
We might just say that it's, what is our motive? What is our motive for reading the scriptures? Yeah. Is it so that we can strike swords with a brother and we can win that battle? If that's our motive, then that's the flesh. Mm-hmm. But if our motive is, Lord, I just want to see you on the pages of scripture. Lord, I love you and I just want to see you on the pages of scripture. So I get up and I look and I'm diligent with that. Mm-hmm. That's my motive, right? That's what we want. And that's what I want to be and that's what you want to be. And so that's our motive, is to build this relationship, not to have some ritual that I've got to go through this routine every day and I've got to be diligent with that routine. We don't want that. That's what the scribes and Pharisees did. But what we want is, I'm in this relationship with the Lord and I want to build that relationship.
If you go back to 1 Thessalonians 2, there's one phrase that I wanted to draw our attention to that just captivates this point. He says, and it's a goal for this idea of growth, and this is in verse 12, that you would walk worthy of God. God has done a great work in salvation, in transforming us to making us His own, making us acceptable in His sight. And so the goal of growth, the goal of our desire is, God, I just want to be acceptable to you. I just want to do what's pleasing to you. When you think of fruit, you also have to think of who consumes it. Right? Where is it that fruit gets consumed? And in this case, it's for the delight and the pleasure of God. God looked down and He saw the Lord Jesus. He said, man, this is my beloved Son in whom I well please. And He says, I want more of them. I want more of those who I can have my delight in, who bring forth these fruit of the Spirit, and the Lord God Himself takes pleasure and delight. One of the goals of growing is to walk worthy of the God who has called me and transformed me. This morning in the morning Bible study, we were talking about, you know, how Daniel and his three friends in the great panoramic historical unfolding were faithful to God. God's got a big agenda going beyond what we can even comprehend, and all He's looking for is you and I in the moment that we're living. I love the phrase He used, you know, in our brief moment of time that we're here, that there are those who are honoring Him, desiring to find His pleasure and His delight.
As we close, I would like to stay in 1 Thessalonians 2 for a phrase that we didn't really touch on. It's in verse, another phrase, that we didn't touch on. It's in verse 3. It's really just this word, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. It's the word exhortation. In this context, it's the apostles exhorting first unbelievers, then growing believers. The scriptures also tell us to exhort, be able to exhort one another, and it's quite an active word. It's actually very similar to comforting one another. In some cases, it's the exact same word, I think. And though on the one hand, comforting is being next to someone to give them a word of help when they're grieving or sorrowing, exhorting is also, and from a position of being right next to someone, but giving them the timely word that says, here's what you need to do. This is how to address where you are in life. It is very forceful. And sometimes we would rather that people just comfort us, and we don't really want people to exhort us. So there's these two sides of things that if we are going to be growing, we are going to hear people exhort us. It might be a little bit uncomfortable, but it's probably the word we need because it's from the scriptures if they're exhorting us. And we should be exhorting one another as well. We should be capable of giving that word of warning. It kind of implies there's a relationship there already, the side-by-side relationship. But when you see a fellow believer and you're in relationship with that believer and you say, hey, I'm wondering about this part of your life, you're exhorting. Are we prepared to do that for each other? Are we prepared to receive that from one another? So there's this aspect of that as part of the process of spiritual growth. And then I just want to suggest too, very briefly, what if there's a breakdown in this, these two aspects of spiritual growth? What if there are no leaders or teachers or no those who are doing pastoral work or who are in a position of doing pastoral work are not characterized by these traits that we looked at? And I'm the listener, and I'm beaten verbally instead of encouraged and so on. I'm still responsible for my spiritual growth. I'm still responsible before the Lord to accept this as a time period where I need to seek it from Him if I'm not being taught by this one who maybe is in that position. What if there's a breakdown in the side of the listener? What if Paul came to the Thessalonians and there wasn't a reception of welcoming? Well, in some cases, Paul just left and moved on and said, well, I'm going to leave you with the Lord. Other times he would say, well, I've got to find another way. If we're the ones who are helping to foster spiritual growth in the lives of someone else, we don't then transform ourselves into the one who wields the whip and say, come on now, you're supposed to be growing. That's not going to accomplish anything. Like when Moses said to the people of God, listen, you rebels, we have to get water from you out of this rock. That was a terrible breakdown on the part of Moses. So if there's a breakdown, we who are the learners, desiring to grow spiritually, we find our resources in the Lord. If there's a breakdown on the part of the listeners, whom we're helping to grow spiritually, we find the character of Christ still is the way to accomplish God's purposes. If there's a breakdown, spiritual growth can still take place. And it's because it's the Word of God, that's where the life is. And because it's attraction to Christ, who is our life, He is seated in the heavenlies, and our life is hidden with Christ in God. There is life, and it is available for us.
It's not just in a breakdown, but all the time we should be seeking to help others grow.
Very good. Yeah. Final thoughts? Why don't we close in prayer? Mm-hmm.